In the back of our books of praise is the Heidelberg Catechism, and if you'd like to turn to Lord's Day 38, it's on page 554. As I already mentioned, it speaks of the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it asks, what does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that especially on the day of rest, I diligently attend the church of God, to hear God's word, to use the sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works. Let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved congregation, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. How are you doing? Are you feeling well, encouraged, enthusiastic? In other words, are you feeling well rested? Many of us would probably feel like recent events in world history have left us with a lot more stress and anxiety. And so much stress and anxiety leaves us tired out. But it's not just recent events. Most of us live quite busy lives, pretty much all the time. And sometimes it's quite unavoidable. If you have young children, you will be left tired, and you'll feel stretched out. There's always something that you've left undone, because there simply isn't time. If you're an office bearer, or on any number of important committees, or boards, or other good things, you will have times where after a long day at work, you come home and you have to go out again in the evening, and it's a struggle to get everything done. Or other times, you will have plans to get some rest, and then something important or something sudden, emergency, will come up, and you run off your feet again. But on the other hand, a lot of our busyness is avoidable. We bring it on ourselves. How many of our conversations don't start, or at least include somewhere in the line in there, that line, I know you're busy, but... We expect each other to be always busy and stretched thin, and so we are. But is that right? The truth is that hurriedness and too much busyness in our life is spiritually unhealthy. And damaging. And it's also mentally and physically unhealthy. And so as we'll see this afternoon, our Lord God calls us to work faithfully. Laziness is a sin, and it's also incredibly damaging to ourselves and to those around us, but so is overwork. And that's why God has not just given us, but he has commanded us to rest. And so this afternoon, we will see the reason why God has commanded us to rest. Our theme is God grants rest to those he loves. That's taken from Psalm 127 that we will sing after the sermon. And we'll see why we need physical rest, and why we need spiritual rest, and why we need eternal rest. So firstly, let's see why we need physical rest. Work is good. We learn that from the eighth commandment. It tells us that God requires us to work faithfully so we may be able to give to those in need. We learn that from marriage. The form for marriage commands the groom to work faithfully in your daily calling to support your family and help those in need. And the bride is charged to take proper care of your family and household. And all of this requires working hard. Hard work, or perhaps better as our forms put it, faith working faithfully. That work is good. And God commands it of us. In fact, we were put on earth in order to work. We sometimes imagine that that paradise will be an eternity of something equivalent to sitting on a beach in Hawaii. never having to work again. But working faithfully is not a curse from the fall into sin. The toil, the drudgery, and the failure of much of our work, that is a curse. But the work itself, working faithfully, working hard, is not a curse. That is what God commanded Adam and Eve to do already before the fall. And Ecclesiastes teaches us, more than any other book in the Bible, about the curse of life and the curse of work, the toil and the drudgery and the meaninglessness of much of our work. But it also teaches us very clearly about how to work faithfully, perhaps especially in our text in chapter 11. Verse 1 encourages us that when we work, we need to have faith. Cast your bread upon the waters. It says, we do our work without knowing what will happen to it. It's the equivalent of throwing your bread on the water, and then you let the water, the tides, and the wind and the waves take it away, not knowing where it will go. And we often do our work without knowing what will come of it. But it says we do that work trusting in God, because God is the one who will use it. And verse 2 speaks about spreading our work around. Whether you're growing your business or whether you're doing charity work, we need to spread it around in case of disaster. And verse 3 says why. It's because if we try to guess the future or to predict natural events in order to put all our eggs in a particular basket, it won't help. We don't know what the outcome will be. We don't know. And so we need to not put all of our hope in one thing, but spread our work around. And so this requires, again, working hard, working faithfully, so that we're able to spread ourselves around and help many different people. And verse 4 teaches against procrastination, as the farmers among us know well. If we wait for the perfect weather, we will never sow, and then we'll never have a harvest. But we often like to use that excuse. Whether we're farmers or not, we can easily find excuses to put off the work that we know that we should be doing and justify our procrastination to ourselves. Ah, the time is not quite right. But deep down, we know better. And so these verses teach us that though we don't know the outcome, we still have to work hard, we still have to work faithfully, not procrastinate, and in the end, we leave it up to the Lord. And verse 6 sums it up. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. We work hard, we spread our work around, not counting all on one thing, and then we leave it up to God to bless our work. And only with His blessing will we have success. But in all this, Ecclesiastes is not commanding us to work until we drop. This is not a command to slave away day and night with barely a chance to catch your breath, no rest. This chapter does not encourage, much less command, workaholism. And we see this, perhaps most of all, from the end of chapter 12. Chapter 12 talks about the weariness of life and work. It's especially focusing on the weariness of knowledge and of books. It warns in verse 12, it says, my son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And the immediate context is about God's word here. Verse 11 is talking about how God's word is the important thing. It talks about the words of the wise in that verse, and in the end it talks about how they are given by one shepherd. So it's talking about the wise men who are writing the books of the Bible. And then it says, of making many books there is no end. Every week I get emails from Reformed bookstores, and each week there is new books. Not just any old books, but good, well-reviewed, and very useful books that are being published every week. And if that's not enough, there are other Reformed bookstores who will republish a lot of old books that are also very useful. And there's so much out there that we could read and profit from and learn. But there's also no end to it. And so verse 12 says, much study wearies the body. And so these words, first of all, warn us not to go beyond the Bible. Many books are useful and profitable. The Bible, in the end, is the gospel. It's what we truly need to read and to spend our life studying. These words in the scriptures are given by God himself, by our good shepherd. But there's also an application to all of our work. Just like you can read many books, and they're all very profitable, and they're all very good, but in the end, you just end up wearied by them. So all of our work can be good, but it can also be wearying. Especially when there isn't always a connection between how hard we work and how much success we receive. And that is one of the curses from the fall into sin. We can work very hard and faithfully and receive very little earthly success from our work. And then we look around us and we see other people that seem to work very little, and yet they have much success. And our work is also wearisome because it's the same work often, doing the same things over and over and over again. There's little lasting change, little eternal meaning in the day-to-day of our work. And so we get tired of it. It's tiring for our bodies, and it's wearying to our minds. And so these words teach us that God doesn't call us to work to exhaustion, even when work is profitable. That's why, above all, he gives us the day of rest. We simply do not have the energy to continue working on our work day after day with no break. We will burn out mentally and physically. Too much work makes us weary, and then we'll end up doing a poorer job, which means we have to work longer and get more weary. Instead, God says we need to take a break. We need to rest. And so the fourth commandment commands us to rest for an entire day. Do not work on the Sabbath, it says. You do not work, nor do you let those who work for you work, whether animals or people. And the New Testament makes clear that the day of rest after Jesus' resurrection is now the first day of the week, Sunday. And this applies as much as possible to all work, not just paid labor. Whatever is your regular weekday work, rest from it on Sunday. So if you are a student, don't study on the Sabbath. If you are a homemaker, only do the chores that are essential. And this applies not just physically, but also mentally. Try not to think about and dwell on your work. Don't stay away physically, but send emails, take phone calls, or mentally plan out your week. Your mind needs rest as much as your body does. And when we rest physically and mentally from our work for this one day of the week, it reminds us, as Psalm 127 teaches, that only God brings success. When we work nonstop, we begin to get the idea that everything depends on us. We have to keep working, because without us, the whole thing's going to fall apart. But this is a lie. Ecclesiastes 11 teaches us this with that repeated refrain, "You do not know." It says, "You do not know what disaster will happen. You do not know what will happen. You do not know what brings success. You do not know the path of the wind." And if there was an obvious, clear link between our hard work and success, then we would know. But it doesn't. As we've seen, there are those who seem to do very little and they have a lot of success, and others work very hard and seem to barely scrape by. And so we might imagine, well, then it's all meaningless. Then we all may as well just do very little work. Why work hard? Why work faithfully if success is, humanly speaking, random? But that's not the way of faithful work. Chapter 11 says, "We work faithfully because God brings success. Sow your seed, do your work, don't put all your eggs in one basket, don't be idle, and then wait for God." And so this commandment and this scripture wants us to ask ourselves, do I work faithfully in my work, at my job, at home, at school? Boys and girls, do you work hard at school? Not because hard work means you're guaranteed to get a good mark on your test, but because God asks you to work faithfully. Or do you procrastinate and make excuses? Do you not work hard because you don't really care in the end anyway? Or do we work too much? We can do this as students, as parents, as adults. If you have a family, do you work so hard that you do not have time for your spouse or your children? You may tell yourself, as many have told themselves before, that you have to work hard such hours. You have to grow your business or you will not have success. But God tells us otherwise. We work faithfully and we rest as we need to, and then we trust God for the success. If He does not bless us, it doesn't matter how many hours we work, we will fail. If He blesses us, we can rest as He commands, and we will still have blessing. And so we are called to have a balance in our work. We also can think of the balance between our daily work and our work in the church. We all have different roles in the church, but each of us is commanded to be a living member of the church. So we may not work so hard at our careers that we have no time to help our brothers and sisters in the church. We can't be so concerned and focused on our families that we neglect our brothers and sisters in church. Or we might work so many hours during the week that we crash on Sundays, falling asleep in church, leaving church right away because we have no energy left to talk to anyone. And then we know that our balance is off. And so it's always a balance. We can't work so hard at our career that we're not faithful to our calling in church. We can't work so hard as an office bearer or other helper in church that we're neglecting our families, and so on. And as always, when we hear this command of the Lord our God to work faithfully and to rest and to trust God, it reminds us, as it does with all the commandments, how often we fail to live up to them. We work too hard. We trust in ourselves too much for success instead of trusting God. Or we do not work hard enough. We are lazy. We procrastinate. We don't do the hard work that we know we ought to do. Maybe we do both, working too hard and procrastinating. And so, of course, in this commandment as well, we can be so thankful for God's grace to us in Christ. When we see Christ, we see someone who worked faithfully his entire life, including faithfully going to the cross and dying for our sins so that His blood can wash us clean from these sins as well. And so it is in the name of Christ and in obedience to Him that we also rest on Sunday. Even though we have so much work, so many callings to do, we can afford to rest on this first day of the week and then work faithfully the other 6 days, because we know that God brings success and because we need the rest. That takes us to our second point, why we also need spiritual rest. Well, believe it or not, the Lord's Day, our commandment, sorry, is more than just about physical and mental rest. It's probably what we think of most of all when we think of the Sunday, not doing our regular work. But our Lord's Day, if we look at it, it focuses mostly on spiritual rest. On the day of rest, it says, "I diligently attend the church of God." And then it lists the main things we do in the worship service: hearing God's word, using the sacraments, calling publicly on the Lord, and giving Christian offerings for the poor. And so we need spiritual rest on this day also. You'll get a nice physical rest if you sleep in and miss the morning service. You'll get a nice mental rest if you go for a hike on Sunday afternoons instead of the afternoon service. But if you do, you will miss the most important part of a day of rest, which is spiritual rest. And you get two kinds of rest from the worship service. The first is what our catechism calls resting from our evil works. By nature, we are slaves of sin and unable to resist temptation when it comes. But the more we grow in the faith, the more we can resist temptation. The more mature Christians we become, the more we can rest from our evil works. And the Holy Spirit uses the preaching of the gospel to work this faith in our hearts, to strengthen us, to mature us in the faith, so that we can resist and fight sin and rest from our evil works. As you come to church and listen to the preaching, if you're an experienced Christian, much of the Bible and much of the preaching is pretty familiar to you, probably. Some of us learned the Bible stories as babies. But Even so, the Holy Spirit uses the worship service and uses the proclamation of the gospel each time to work strength in us, to work maturity in us. The scriptures reveal our hidden sins. They strengthen us to rest from our sins, to make us more and more determined to do good. But if that was the main point of the worship service, we actually wouldn't leave feeling very rested. Because if you're anything like me, you might leave the worship service having heard God's word, and you might leave with determination in your hearts that now, this time, you're going to do better this week. But then Monday morning rolls around. The busyness of the week begins. Your kids wake you up in the night and you're not rested again. And so Monday morning, you fail. And you fall into the same old sins again. And so if our spiritual rest depended on us, on coming to church, getting recharged, and then making sure that we resist temptation, that we do better, we wouldn't feel very rested each week. But the spiritual rest in the worship service is not all, and most of all, not about us. It's most of all about Jesus Christ. Above all, the preaching is about the gospel. We are reminded each worship service that Jesus has come to do the work that we're not able to do, and to do the rest that we're not able to do. For Jesus did always work faithfully, but he also resisted temptation, perfectly keeping himself from evil and resting from his evil works every day of his life. And then, as the perfect sacrifice, he went to the cross and suffered the wrath of God for all of the sins that we make. He takes all of our failures each week again, all those Monday morning and other week sins. And he covers them with his blood and he washes us clean. And he cleanses our hearts and our consciences forever. And so the greatest spiritual rest that we receive is from trusting in Jesus again each time we hear the gospel. It is because of Christ that our evil works do not haunt us forever. His death on the cross means God's wrath is no longer hanging over us because it is all spent on Christ. And so we can have spiritual rest. Our success as Christians, just like the success of our physical work, does not in the end depend on us. Yes, again, we are called as in our Christian life as well to work faithfully, to rest from our evil works. But above all, we depend entirely on Christ. And so each worship service, this gospel message is proclaimed and celebrated. And we are reminded once again that our salvation is in Christ alone. And so we ought not to rest from attending worship. And if you are feeling tired and weary, whether physically tired or tired and weary because of your sins, it's counterproductive not to come to worship, even though that might be our first thought. Because it is here that we truly do find spiritual rest. As we heard from Jesus a few weeks ago, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon yourselves and learn from me, for I am lowly and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." It is above all in the worship service that we meet Jesus again each time, and we find in him true spiritual rest. Here, the gospel confirms that true rest for our souls is found only by trusting in Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins. This is the place to be when we are weary and burdened by life or by sin. For we cannot earn God's favor ourselves by resting from our own works, but we have Jesus to do so in our place. And without that weekly gospel reminder, we so often fall back into works righteousness, into trying to do it all on our own, trying to earn our own salvation and make our own faithfulness just by our determination to do better. Or, without that weekly gospel reminder, we fall so easily into sin. Burdened with lust, surrounded by the cravings of the world, it is so hard to resist. Now, faithfully attending worship will not make us perfect, of course. But it is a key weapon. It is the greatest weapon we have in our fight against sin and temptation. And it is the place where we can once and for all find spiritual rest. And that brings us to our third point, why we need eternal rest. So when we obey the fourth commandment, we rest physically. We rest from our daily labors. We do our best not even to think about our work, but to completely rest. And then we come to church and we get spiritual rest from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We might imagine we have all the rest we need, but it's not enough. We're all here in church, resting physically, resting mentally, finding spiritual rest, and yet we get tired. And Ecclesiastes 12 describes for us the decay of physical and mental strength as we get older. It speaks often in this book and also in Proverbs of the wisdom that comes with age. And used well, that wisdom of age, it comes with dignity. People look up to us as we age and as we use our wisdom wisely to help others. But eventually, as this chapter describes, that dignity and even that wisdom can begin to fade. We lose our mental abilities. We certainly lose the physical strength to do the work we used to do. Eventually, perhaps we lose the ability to take care of ourselves. In poetic language, Ecclesiastes 12 speaks of the loss of teeth, the loss of eyesight, the loss of strength, the loss of sexual desire. And as all of that loss comes upon us, people often find themselves weary of life. Or at least they come to welcome death to be with the Lord, which, as the Bible tells us, is always a gain. And the same is true of spiritual strength. As we go through our life, as we learn more from God's Word, as we hear the gospel each Sunday, we do grow mature in our faith, and we do grow in our ability to resist temptation. But as we grow and learn from God's Word, we also grow in our awareness of ourselves and our sin. And we see how more and more how sinful we are, and how far we still have to go to reach the perfect standard that God requires of us. And life is a constant battle against sin. We cannot let up our guard, even for a moment. As the Bible says, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. And so the spiritual battle of our life also becomes weary and burdensome. And Ecclesiastes, in its wisdom, it teaches us a lot about how to live in obedience to God. But these words of the wise, verse 11 says, the teachings of God's word are like goads. Their sayings are like firmly embedded nails. In other words, they often have to prick us, to hurt us, like a parent's discipline can often hurt us before we learn to listen. These sharp words are given by a good shepherd, but we are stubborn sheep that need discipline before we listen. And so, says Ecclesiastes 12, after all these things come upon us, after all the weariness of our physical decay, our mental decay, the weariness of a constant spiritual battle, after all of this, man goes to his eternal home, verse 5. And it is then that we finally get to rest. Then there will be no more sin, and the constant wearying battle against our sinful nature is over. And it is right to look forward to that eternal rest. By God's grace, there are many blessings in this life, especially as we live in a prosperous time and a prosperous country. We have wonderful blessings as we can rest from our work on Sundays, but also as we take vacations, as we rest from our work in this way. And as we receive the spiritual rest, every time we are reminded of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as we saw this morning in the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of the power of Jesus' blood to wash us from our sins and the personal assurance that we have of salvation in Christ. But yet, we still look forward to our eternal rest, the time when sin will be no more, and we will finally rest from the constant battle against temptation and the fight against the sin that is in our hearts, and the constant putting away the desires of the world around us. And so we look forward to that eternal rest And in that eternal rest, as we saw earlier, we will still work. The new heavens and the new earth will be remade for us, and we will be kings on the new creation. And as kings, we will be working hard, no doubt, for God's glory to rule over the new heavens and the new earth. We will develop the new creation for God as we live with Him. But it will be a time of faithful work, but it will also be a time of eternal rest. Because the sin in our hearts and in our lives, and all the meaninglessness of the work in this life will be gone forever. And so then we will have an eternal Sabbath. And so we wait for that. We look forward to that. And we pray for our Lord Jesus to come quickly and to bring that eternal rest. Amen.